as we're going to look at this morning at a sensitive subject, I come to you humbly this morning about the subject, about family. We're going to look in Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. Have you ever wondered, as the earth is spinning at 1,000 miles an hour, how you're still standing still or sitting still? Do you feel like we're traveling at 1,000 miles an hour? Gravity has something to do with that, doesn't it? Yeah, thank God. The sun's gravity keeps the earth in orbit. You wondered how this sphere is spinning 1,000 miles an hour, is just suspended. There's God. Okay? There's God. And I believe God is the supreme creator, and that we should look to Him for the answers of life, since He's the creator and we're the creation, that we should look to Him how to live. And this week I was reminded of something that, as I was watching, I don't know if anybody watches Northwood's Law, I watched some of that for a little while, and two people, a boy and a girl, was fishing, and the game warden came up and said, "You've got two poles in the water," and asked the girl, "You know, do you have your fishing license?" She said, "No." He said, "Well, are you fishing?" She said, "Oh, no, I'm not fishing." "Why you got two poles in them?" "Well, one's for this type of fish and one's for this type of fish," the guy said. And they kept the story going. And the game warden looked at her and he said, "Now, let me ask you, if I was right over there watching, would you have been fishing then?" And she was like, "Busted. Ah, yeah." And as he wrote up the ticket for no fishing license, whatever, went away, he said, "I wasn't over there watching. I had no idea. I just called her bluff." And I thought back sometimes as our girls were teenagers, I had no clue whatsoever. And parents, you might want to try this sometime. I'd just say, "Well, do you want to tell me about it? Let's talk about it." And I had nothing. And they just started opening up to they'd done it. I had no idea they'd done. I'm like, "This is so good." And then there's other times that you ask the question you already know the answer to. I want you to know that God is an all-knowing God. He isn't bluffing. He loves you just the way you are. He loves you and desires for you to be the way He is, in His image. Okay? So as we look at this morning, may the Holy Spirit guide us as we look at this. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." Father, we come to You this morning, trusting in Your word. God, we understand that You are the creator of all things. We humbly come this morning asking You to reveal to us, in the culture that we're in, how to love and minister, be compassionate, and still speak truth. In love, in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. When the Bible speaks there of "let us," and when He says "our image," that is referring to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit as one. Okay? This is consistent throughout the Bible that there is one God in three persons as we know it and call it the Trinity of God. Okay? Then in verse 27, it says, "So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them." You see how many times He repeats that to try to emphasize and clarify? And that's what we want to do, is look to God's Word as the map, the accurate plan God has for the family, God has for His creation, and He emphasizes it over and over and over again. And we should comply to that. Okay? When He says that many times, that means He's trying to emphasize it greatly. This means that there is an unbridgeable gap between human life and animal life. Okay? Amen? Okay? Though we are biologically similar to certain animals. Okay? We are distinct in our moral, intellectual, and spiritual capabilities. Amen? Come on, you got to help me this morning. This is clear that you are not a furry cat. Nor are you a barking dog. You can dress like one, howl like one, meow like one, eat like one, but you're still a human being that God created. Hello. It would be foolish to be called that. But regardless, if somebody believes that and acts like that, we are still called to love them regardless. Because for God so loved the world. This is also clear in the definition of male and female. The Bible tells us clearly there's a distinction between man and woman. And God is perfect. He is the Creator and clearly says in Genesis 1:31, "Behold, it is very good." I've heard teenagers throughout watching and observing them, they've looked over at that female and went, "Wow, God, that is very good." The guys don't normally say that. I mean, the guys will say that, but the girls don't normally say that. I don't know why that is, but it happens that way. There's a difference between man and woman. Y'all notice that? There is. Even in communication, there's differences. Sometimes the woman's speaking on channel 2 and the guy's speaking on channel 9 has no frequency whatsoever. Okay? There is differences. That is no accident. They are very different, but God said they are very good. And has meaning and purpose for God's institution of family. God established the institution of family. Okay? That foundation is what we should build our society upon. That's what He designed it to do. When the foundation is built on shoddy material or built upon the sand, what does the Bible say? Sinking. When you have somebody build a house or you're building a house yourself, are you going to make sure that it's built on solid foundation? So should we. That's what God's trying to explain to us. That we should build it upon a solid foundation. When the foundation breaks down, folks, you see this over and over again. There's chaos that takes place. There's destruction. There's a lot of pain and harm that takes place when that foundation breaks up. But I believe that God still has a plan. Okay? The United States of America, families need revival. families need healing, both emotionally, socially, physically, and spiritually. Families need healing. There's a lot of pain that goes in families today, and many of you are there. Many of you have experienced that. You have family members that have experienced that, or you yourself have experienced that. There's a lot of pain that goes into that. And we need healing from God. Okay? We need a sense of where God wants us to go from here. We need God, the Creator, to turn it all around. And He's the one that can do that. Amen? He has that power to do exceedingly abundantly above anything that we say or ask. He has that power. He has that ability to do that. We need God to turn it all around. And I'm here to tell you this morning, you know this already, TV is not promoting and protecting the institution of family. Social media is not protecting and promoting family, the institution of family. Cartoons is not. Commercials is not. TV's not. YouTube's not. TikTok's from China's not. They're all not promoting and protecting the institution that God established with family. And that's why I was telling the children this morning, who is being the influence? And be careful when you allow children and teenagers and even you as adults go to watch something. Be careful. Don't just take in everything that you see and hear. Filter it through God's plan. Don't just be sheer noise and some kind of entertainment to get you through. Okay? Social media is not promoting or protecting. There is a mass array of indoctrination, of redefining, revaluing, and destroying marriage, family, and human life today. In mass array. It is time, folks, it is time that you and I, as followers of Jesus Christ, to establish the family structure, to stop allowing to indoctrinate this evil, and you and I begin to start the education of what God says about family today. It's time that we stop allowing this culture to define and redefine. The covenant of marriage is established, is to be promoted and protected. Happening today is wrong definitions of family, wrong definitions of marriage. I don't say that in hate, I say that in sadness, because I see on the flip side of that brokenness and confusion. And a lot of people today are walking around and they've adapted to that, or they've come to that, and they feel isolated that they can't be a part of the church. But the church here today is not perfect. Hello. I don't want to have you look at your neighbor and say, you ain't perfect. No, I don't want to do that. But from the pulpit to the pew this morning, we don't have it all together. That's why we continually look to the Savior, to Jesus Christ, the author and the finisher of our faith, and look at God's Word to tell us and show us and chastise us in the ways that we err, because we're not there yet. And so anybody that comes to church thinking that we do, they have a wrong definition of that, because we don't have it all right yet. We're looking to the Savior. We are asking Him to forgive us and to continue keeping us on the right track, because any of us can make mistakes and fall. Happening to degrade aggressively is the undermining and rebellion against God's established role of one man and one woman in a covenant marriage to be fruitful and multiply. The government should not ever have a role of defining marriage or gender, or whether babies should live or die. Hello? I'm going to say that again. The government should never have the role of defining marriage should never have the role of defining family or gender or whether a baby should live or die. Folks, we need a revival. And may it begin in us. When the government starts trying to do that, and they are, they're trying to trump God. We got news for them. God wins. God wins. If repentance and revival does not come soon, judgment of God will come sooner than you and I expect. It has to come to a climax. In Matthew chapter 19, 1 Corinthians chapter 7, it is clear there is no same-sex marriage. Period. But before you get on that tangent, okay, before you get on that train to ride, let's look at the whole picture. Also, in Romans 1 as well as 19 and Corinthians 7, it talks about this phrase. The Greek term for it is porneia. Porneia is sexual immorality, fornication, pornography, adultery, human prostitution, incest, and being filled with any kind of this sexual perversion activity where you will be turned over to a reprobate mind. So just don't pick one of those topics. Because in churches today, they've been hiding behind fornication and adultery and this other stuff that's going on. It ought not be this sexual immorality. They've been hiding behind that and trying to push out to deflate what they're doing, putting it off on somebody else. But they may be doing wrong. It's time that we take a look in the mirror before we look out the window. Sin is sin. And falls short of the glory of God, period. It separates us from God. Lust is not love. Amen? Porn and sexual activity outside a biblical marriage is still rebellion against God, and that sin separates you from God. The Bible does not give anyone, listen to me, does not give anyone clearance to hurt verbally or physically someone who practices immorality, same sex, changing genders, fornication, adultery, or any of those other things, even somebody that tries to redefine the marriage and family. It does not give us clearance to hurt verbally or physically those people. The Bible calls for you and I to love them. You don't have to accept that lifestyle. You can minister to them. You can share the truth with them. But you don't punch them or verbally abuse them with some kind of verbal hand grenade to try to get them to rebel. This rebellious nature is not done by that. It's done by love. Husband, wife, and children is the design from God to be and will continue to be supposed to be in the image of God. The Greek word for love, storge, is the Greek word for love, which refers to a natural family love. It's a word that's not found in our translation of the Bible, but in the original Greek is found several times. Storge. It refers to the type of love shown between a husband and wife and their children. The Bible sets those standards for that. God's plan for marriage and family is still the best plan and the only plan. It's sad today what's going on. It's very sad. When you hear about a baby just being born, and laid beside a dumpster just to see if it'll die or somebody will pick it up. It's sad today when a child is in his crib wanting the nurture of his mama and she bashes its head in. It's sad today that when two children, ages 6 and 8. Mama asked her neighbor to babysit them, has no relation to them at all. Later that night to call back and say, I'm not coming back, I'm on my way to Florida with my boyfriend. It's sad today when you sit in the office and hear children or teenagers crying because of what's going on in the family. We need a revival. We need God's help. We need His help. God performed the first wedding ceremony. You know that? I don't know what type of cake they had. I don't know what kind of dress you wore. But God performed the first ceremony. Genesis 2, beginning in verse 24. He says there, therefore, and when you see the word therefore, it's there for a reason. Shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. They were both naked, and the man and his wife were not ashamed. Notice the addressing to the man. You leave your mom and daddy and cleave unto your wife and be one flesh. That means that he's not to be taking any more allowance from his parents. Hello? That means the parents are not paying the bills no more. It's time for you to man up, work, provide, and protect your family. Sadly enough, today that is not happening. Men, I'll pick on us for a moment, have neglected stepping up to the plate and being the man that God called us to be. Some men have stepped up to the plate, trying to provide and protect their family. It didn't work out for them. There's a lot of brokenness today. There's a lot of pain. We shouldn't be dependent that once we get married on our parents, we're to leave and become one, and be fruitful. In chapter 3 of Genesis, we find that sin came into the picture. If you'll notice, if you read that later, that God addresses the man. He does not come to the woman and say, woman, why did you eat that apple? Or that forbidden fruit? Why did you... No, he went to the man. Study that. At any rate, sin came into the perfect family's plan. Rebellion came in. Lies came in. Blame. Do you remember that? Well, you gave me her, right? And God said to the man, hey, you're the one that said, whoa, man, very good. Blame. It was that serpent. Shame came in after that. Brokenness came in after that. Separation came in after that. And after their children was born, it continued. Jealousy, and therefore go on and go on. Sin is not only separating from you from God, but it has painful consequences. And we know that today. It has painful consequences. Though Satan may throw darts at you and say, it won't hurt nobody. Yes, it does. Families today have ambiguous situations. And they need God's help. They need God's word on how to heal and discover God's plan. How to act. How to speak truth into those people that you love about the rebellion against God's established institution of the family. How do you determine whether to help or enable or endorse? Well, you seek, here it is, you seek God's direction for peace in those situations that troubles your heart. You don't look at Google. TikTok's not going to be there. Media's not going to be there. Even cartoons aren't going to be there to help you to go to God's Word for the healing process, folks. Go to His Word. Listen to Him. Ask Him what you need to do. Trust Him and obey. Seek God's direction in this. Also, there has to be a balance between unconditional love, agape love, if you will, and grace. Have you received God's love? Because if you have, you can pass that on to somebody else. But if you've not received God's love, you can't pass on what you don't own. Have you ever received God's grace? More than once, right? So if you've received that, you can pass it on. With His help. You can't do it on your own. But we're to love unconditionally and offer grace. That's God's plan for us to do. Can you love and not agree with someone? Some of you said yes. You can. You can love someone. You may not agree with them. Jesus did that, didn't He? He loved them. He didn't agree with them all the time. We should be abiding in Him because with His help, we can do it too. Yes, it's hard. It's hard to watch people that you love, people that are even friends. It's hard to watch them reap the consequences of their actions. And sometimes, quite honestly, it's called tough love. Tough love. God's wisdom and Holy Spirit will guide you if you will seek Him with your heart. God created and spoke the accurate plan for life, love, and peace. His Word is clear. His Word is infallible. Many of you here today have been affected with painful past experiences in family. Many of us are not exempt from that pain, that hurt, something that hurts you. And many times we try to ignore it, suppress it, or block it out. Maybe you've even tried sedating it with pills or alcohol. Some could allow this culture to convince them that adultery or same-sex or porn is norm. If it feels good, do it. Culture says it's good, then go ahead. This pain and hurt will still remain. Because when people slow down and they begin to think about life and the direction it's going, the Holy Spirit of God will begin to speak into our lives about that. And He says, come to Me, all you who are weak and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He has a much better way to help each of us with our past. He wants to provide, He wants to protect, and He wants to give us a future. He has the healing power, and He can set you free. Regardless of the situation, you're never too far from God's love reaching you. God is still chasing after you. That's why you're here today. That's why you're watching, listening today. You may not have thought that, but that's why He had you here. He wants the healing process to begin. God loves you. He's crazy in love with you. And He is able and He is willing to turn it all around. But you individually must respond to Him. Turn to Him. Let a new life begin in you. Let a new life begin in you. Ask forgiveness of those sins that separate us. Repent. Turn into Him. Turn into God and trust Him. Because His loving arms are always extended out to you. And maybe you're here today and your family has been broken. And you just need to cry out for God for help. He's here loving you. He has a design for you. Regardless of what choices you've made or what's actually happened to you that you had no recourse, you didn't know. And today, He says, I love you. Come to Me and let Me begin a new life, a new way with you. Maybe you're here today and none of this has touched you. But maybe you're here and you're not saved. You've not received that love. You've not received that grace that He offers. And the Holy Spirit of God is calling you to repent and turn to God. Confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today. God has the plans for every one of us. Regardless of where we are, where we've been, He loves us. He loves us. I shared with Bible study Wednesday night about a pastor who had a very successful big church, and he got a call late one night. His wife answered the phone. He wasn't in the room. She hung the phone up, told her husband, said, one of your church leaders named his name. One of your church leaders is on the sidewalk downtown. This was one of the other leaders that called, and they seen him downtown. He was laying on the sidewalk, passed out drunk. Instead of asking, church leader, why didn't you help him or do something for him? They didn't do that. Simply said, okay, we're on our way. And so the pastor got in his car and he drove down town where they said he was laying. And sure enough, he was laying on the sidewalk. He passed out and he was drunk. He picked him up, put him in his car in the front seat, latched him in. Meantime, back at the house, the wife had went upstairs and made up a bed, had new sheets on it, brand new pillow, laid out some pajamas and a clean set of clothes. And their son looked and said, why in the world are you going to this measure for this man who's drunk, passed out downtown? Why are you going all this way for him? You know that he's probably going to get sick and throw up on these sheets. And he's probably dirty. He went on, and finally the wife looked at her son and said, son, when this man wakes up in the morning, he's going to be so hurt and ashamed. He's going to need all the love we could possibly give him. He's going to need all the love that we possibly could give him. I tell you that to tell you this, that God's extending His hands out to every one of us with His love that we desperately need. And those of us who know Him and received His love and received His grace, we need to extend that love out to others as well. Okay? He extends that love to every one of us today. Whatever your concern is, if you're here and you're lost and the Holy Spirit's drawing you to salvation, would you come today? If you're here today and you just need to pray, you need to talk to God about something, maybe it's time you ask Him, what do you want me to do, Lord? And if He reveals it to you and you're rebelled against that, it's time to repent and turn back to Him. Let God deal with you today. Let Him deal with you right now to change the course of your future. Father in heaven, You've made it clear that You love every one of us. And that we are not what we ought to be all the time. And You still love us. You demonstrated Your love toward us in that while we're still sinners, Christ died for us. For You loved us so much that You sent Your only begotten Son. And today, Lord, many of us have different pasts. Many things that's going on in our families and friends today that we need Your help. And it's time that we cried out to You for that help that we need. Not to throw aggressive verbal bombs at people. Not to even physically hurt people. But to love and pray and minister. God, we need You. We need Your help. Help us in those things that troubles our hearts today. And help us to be humble and honest as we come to You in prayer and making decisions this very moment for Your glory and Your honor. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Would you stand, please?